Amen. Remain standing. Get your Bible there for a moment tonight. And find two places. I want you to find John 14 again. John 14. And then we're going to launch out from that text. And if you want to find your place in Exodus 3, that's where our thoughts for tonight will come from. But I want us to read our verse we've settled into here. I've been calling these devotional thoughts. I seem like the Lord's let us kind of preach some of it, and I hope it's been a help to you. It's been a huge help to me. The thoughts where Christ has said, "I will manifest myself." And let's read our verses again here in John 14. Amen. Began reading in verse number 19. Let's read 19 through a little ways here. The Bible said, "Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him." And here's our phrase we've lifted as Brother Wells brought it to our mind and remembrance and attention. "And I and will manifest myself to him." And of all the things the Lord said in that verse, or those few verses leading down to that last line, it was that last statement that got a hold of Judas's heart, that stuck into Judas, because he said, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" He didn't ask about, "Lord, how do we know we have your commandments? Lord, how do we know if we love you? Lord, say more about us loving you and you loving us. Say more about the unity between you and the Father, and you're in the Father and the Father's in you and we're in the Father. And tell us that." There's a lot of questions he could have asked about that. But Brother Jack, the idea that the Lord would manifest himself to his people, it did something in the heart of Judas. And he asked the question, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you." And so you can be seated tonight. Let's pray for just a moment, and we'll rehearse a few things, and then we're going to run straight to Exodus 3. I'll explain why in just a moment. Heavenly Father, tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come before you. We're aware, and I know that you're aware of every limitation we have tonight in our own body. And Lord, what we feel physically, Lord, you're aware of where we are, Lord, in our mindset, and Lord, even spiritually, Lord, you know everything about us, every weakness, every strength. You know, Lord, everything that, Lord, we have that, Lord, maybe is up to par and that is not. And yet, Lord, we come to you tonight, Lord, regardless of, Lord, where we are, to ask of you tonight help that, Lord, only can come from our God. And I ask you this evening, Lord, as we embark upon this study together, the thoughts you've given us, Lord, just meditating, Lord, for weeks now, and Lord, even some things you showed us today that, Lord, we want to try to bring forth this evening. Lord, I need your help to be able to do that. And Lord, this crowd as they've walked in tonight, we're not large in number, but Lord, I pray that, Lord, those that have settled in, others that are not able to be here that are watching tonight in their living rooms or at their kitchen tables, Lord, maybe even laid back in a bed and watching this on their phone, or Lord, maybe in days to come, there'll be somebody Lord, that would be listening in, trying to get a word from God, I pray that they would find it. Lord, be it here in this place tonight or days to come, Lord, would you speak through your word. And Lord, help us to understand this matter of you manifesting yourself to us. Lord, what that should mean to us. Lord, how we should value that. Lord, what that would do for us even in these last days. Lord, how you speak tonight and reveal those things and stir and challenge our hearts. We'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen and amen. So we come again tonight to John 14 and the Lord's promise that he will manifest. He said, I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He's not manifesting himself to the world as he is speaking about manifesting in the same manner himself to his people. In fact, the Lord was very clear. The world could see him 2,000 years ago when he spake this. And yet there was coming a time, he said, the world is going to see me no more. But he said, ye see me. You see me today. You see me tonight in the upper room. You will see me even after that I have died and been buried and raised and ascended to my Father. You're going to continue to see me because I'm promising you my manifest presence. A lot of things we've said about that. I'll not rehearse any of that tonight, but really the idea that Jesus is giving to you and I is that there are going to be times where the Lord is going to be apparent in visitation to his people, that we'll be able to detect him. He'll not be some Savior, some Lord or God in a distant land, but he's going to be very near, and you're going to be able to detect that he is there, that his presence is abiding, that his presence is moving, that even that there is a display of both his power and his word as he speaks in this manifestation. Oh, how we need this in these last days. We need a manifestation of our Lord to our lives. I believe tonight that makes all the difference in the world. Amen. And so the Lord is promising this to those that have been instructed in the commandments of the Lord, and not just instructed and have them handed down to them, but that we have guarded those things in proving our love for him. He says that both the Father and himself are going to love us, and that he will manifest himself to us. And so we've looked in the text at several thoughts. We've looked at some hindrances to the Lord manifesting himself. And we talked about our relationship in several key areas of our life, our relationship to the world. We've got to make sure that is right, that we're not too entangled with the world and carnally minded and worldly minded. That is a hindrance. We talk about our relationship to the Word of God and how that must be right, and how we've got to be in the Word of God, guarding the commandments of the Lord, living those out. And we talk about our relationship to the witness, that being the Comforter, the Holy Ghost of God. And we must be right in our relationship to him. And if not, if that's out of joint, if we have grieved or quenched the Spirit of God, then if we have done despite to the Spirit of grace, then we bring a hindrance and a barrier into our spiritual life that will hinder the Lord from manifesting himself to us. And I won't re-preach all that. Then we looked at not only hindrances, but we looked at expectancies. What can we expect when the Lord manifests himself? We pulled several things out of the text, and we began to look over even in what John the Beloved said in 1 John chapter number 1. Much of his writing, we could say, was about explaining how that Jesus had manifested himself to John and James and Peter and even some of the other disciples, and how that John the Beloved is challenging you and I to experience the same thing they did. And so as Christ manifested himself 2,000 years ago to them, we can have Christ manifest himself to us in the same reality, not in flesh and blood, but in the same reality nonetheless, that Christ desires to manifest himself to you and to me. And in doing so, we will find that our joy will be full and our sin will be dealt with, and that the works of the devil will be destroyed in our life. And so those are some things we can expect: the peace of God and power and my, the presence of God to be so near and dear and sweet to you and me. And what I want to begin to embark upon tonight is what we'll call instances. We see hindrances and expectances, but I want to begin with you tonight, and this should take several weeks, I do believe, on the matter of instances of Christ manifesting himself to his people. And there are some instances that took place even before Christ made the promise. Amen. In fact, in creation in the Garden of Eden, we find that the Lord manifests himself to Adam. And in fact, the Bible's pretty clear that in that original state of creation, that the Lord did not, in the sense as we're speaking about manifesting and appearing and being around, his presence being known. We know even then he was everywhere at all times. But the Bible said, Brother Larry, that in the cool of the day, God would come down in the garden and he would walk with the man that he had made. And so though the Lord was everywhere, the Lord gave special manifestations of his presence, even to Adam in original creation. And we understand that through sin and the curse and the judgment of God, that fellowship had been broken. It seemed to be a daily occurrence. It seemed to be something that when God desired, or Adam desired, there God was, and they would walk together, and it was apparent that the voice of God and the presence of God was there. And so that had some complications added to it after that sin and the judgment of God came to the man and upon creation, destroying that that original purpose and intent in which God had made man. But I want you to understand this: that did not change the desire of God to manifest himself to mankind. Even though man had sinned and man had failed and man had done against the will and word and commandments of God, there was still a desire in the heart of God. Hallelujah. This is about to grow on me. I feel like a low-down dog tonight physically. I may shout, Brother Tim. Amen. But the Lord still is going to prove throughout the Scripture that he still has this desire. And no matter what man has done to him, he wants to manifest himself to mankind. He wants men to know his presence. He wants men to experience who he is. And so that's going to take place throughout the Old Testament. We can talk about how the Lord appeared to Noah. He made an appearance and he made a manifestation of himself to Noah. We can talk about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, how that the Lord appeared to those men. I'll say more about them in a moment. And all through the Old Testament, even in Joseph's life, Joseph, the Bible said, the Lord was with Joseph. And there were times when God, no doubt, manifests his presence in the life of Joseph in those trying times of his life, times when he's in the Father's house. And yet, even in times of betrayal, even in times of being lied on, even in times of being in prison, even in times of being forgotten about by other men, God manifests himself in the life of Joseph. And it proves to you and I, God has a desire to come to where his own are. We could talk about this evening all through the Old Testament. Instances where the Lord manifests himself in great and mighty ways. What about Daniel in the den of lions? What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace? And on and on and on we could go. And so we have many, many instances we can draw from in the lives of saints of God in which Christ has already manifest, hallelujah, himself to his own. Well, thinking about all these instances we could draw from, Brother Tim, the Lord seems to have settled in my heart to focus upon the life of Moses. When you study the book of Exodus and the life of Moses, I think this truth stands out without question. And it stands out beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord manifests himself on several of occasions in the life of Moses. Moses was that great and mighty man of God. We know him as the great ruler and leader and deliverer of the nation of Israel. The one that was sent to be their savior and to lead them out of Egypt. One that would lead them across the Red Sea. And the one that would give them the law. And the one that would, even after their rebellion, lead them through the wilderness wanderings for 40 years. Moses served the people of God faithfully to the point that, but Jeremy, when he died, the Bible said, there had never been a greater leader in all the history of Israel from time past, even in the time future, that Moses was magnified even in the eyes of God as a great and a mighty man. Let me make this statement tonight. If you take out the manifestations of God in Moses' life, and Moses is no different than any other man. He loses his might. He loses his authority. He loses his ability to deliver Israel out of Egypt. He loses the ability I'm talking about without the manifestations that God gave Moses of himself. Then Moses is no different than Korah and some of the other rebels and those that missed out on some of the blessed promises and life that God had gave to the children of Israel. Moses, my friend, would have still been a man of limitation. In fact, he testifies of his own life, and he is a man who stutters. He is a man that has very few outward attributes. He is a man that has many physical limitations. Moses was aware of all the things that men could look at about his life and say, this man cannot. He cannot be a great leader. He cannot be a great example. He cannot be one that can accomplish great and mighty things. And yet, is that not exactly what he did? Is that not exactly what Moses did? God took him beyond his limitations. And God took him beyond the lack of experience that he seems to be hung up on, that he's not a great orator and he's not a great speaker, but he lived his life. Oh, you can't miss this. He lived his life, my friend, from one manifestation of God unto another. And when he finally learned the secret of knowing what it was of God manifesting himself to his life and responding to that right and letting God do his work in that manifestation, it is then Moses learned the secret of living a life that could count and accomplish great things for God. Amen. That's good preaching right there for a devotion and a sick preacher tonight. Amen. I'm telling you this evening, amen, you can have all the desires to do this and that and set an example. But until you learn what it is to enter into the manifest presence of God, until you learn to respond when God
begins to move in your way and desire to reveal to you who He is. Amen. To speak to you. Amen. Until you learn to do that. I'm not being mean or ugly tonight. I'm not telling you I got it all nailed down. I'm still learning. And so let me say it this way. Until we learn the secret of the manifest presence of God, we'll all still be zeros. We'll accomplish nothing. We'll be bound to our limitations. We'll always be held back. We'll always come up short. But Moses learned that there is a secret power and there is a secret ability. And really, it's not a secret at all if you let God manifest Himself to you. Amen. God will bring all that He does in that time together, the forefront and the public eye. And God can use our life for His glory. Amen. Amen. And so I want to begin tonight. We know the life of Moses, that it is divided into three segments of 40. He spent his first 40 years in the land of Egypt. And you know the story of how he murdered an Egyptian and he had to flee for his life. And all those first 40 years are contained in Moses in the land of Egypt and on the run. And now in chapter number 3, we enter into that second segment of 40 years. Now, as best we know, we don't have any record of Moses knowing the manifest presence of God. Now, we do know that his father and his mother knew God. And I'm not saying that Moses didn't know anything about God. But we have no record of God manifesting Himself to Moses so long as he was in Egypt and so long as he's on the run. But God is going to do something and began in his life in chapter number 3. And so let's look at this instance tonight and several things. You know this as the story of Moses and the burning bush. And what a story it is. And what a, let me say, not just a story, but what an account this is of the Lord manifesting Himself in the life of Moses. The Bible said in verse number 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame, a fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And so we have an appearance, what the Bible said, of the angel of the Lord. Now that statement oftentimes throughout the Old Testament, even some in the New Testament, is a reference to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because later in this text, when Moses is speaking, hallelujah, amen to the Lord, he said, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? Who am I? And who am I going to tell them gave me the authority to come down here and demand of you that you let God's people go? And the Lord said, the one in the burning bush, the angel of the Lord, God that spake, and the Lord that saw out of the burning bush said, you tell them, I am that I am, has sent thee. And we know when Jesus comes on the scene, he identifies that he is the I am. And so there's no doubt about it. This is a manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament appearing unto Moses out of the burning bush. May I say this experience in the life of Moses, it is going to change his life. God is going to do something around the burning bush that Moses will never get over. And there's an instance here of the manifest presence of God and what that will do as we enter into it. Moses is living outside of it. Moses is wandering around what the Bible said. I didn't say it. The Bible said it, Gerald. Around the backside of the desert, Moses is a man in exile. Moses is a man on the ride. Moses is a man that he doesn't have any purpose. He doesn't have any direction in his life. He's running from his past. He's running from his failure. He's running, my friend, from regrets that are in yesterday. But God is going to manifest himself in this man. And he's going to find a brand new beginning. He's going to find a purpose. He's going to find the will of God for his life. He's going to find that God, though he is full of failures, that Moses and his is full of failures, that God can still do great things if Moses will respond and go to the manifestation of the presence of the Lord. Amen. Number one, consider with me in the text that we learn here when the Lord, this instance, this first beginning instance of the manifest presence of the Lord in the life of Moses. Here's what I wrote down. It will be to call you to draw closer to God. Why does God begin to manifest himself to us? It is that it may stir something in you and I that we will begin to draw closer to God. Moses doesn't seem to be looking for God. Moses, in this instance anyway, Brother Riley, doesn't appear that he had a prayer meeting begging God to manifest himself. This is God initiating this. This is the Lord coming to Moses to manifest himself. A man again on the run, a man that I don't know what spiritual shape he's been in. It would appear that he's just maybe going in circles. It would appear that maybe he's just doing the best he can. It would appear that he's gone to a casual attitude and outlook on his spiritual life. But it is here in this time the Lord, the angel of the Lord, appeared unto him. Amen. He appeared unto him, Brother Larry. And he did so that he might call Moses and began to draw closer to God. Amen. You say, how do you know that? Well, he's going around the backside of the desert. But every now and then in that circle he makes, Jesse, he comes around Horeb, the mountain of God. He knows that's the mountain of God. He knows God has manifested himself there. He knows others have gone there to meet with God. Now God begins to manifest himself at a distance in the life of Moses. And he gets Moses' attention personally. I don't know how long the burning bush burned. I don't know how many laps that he made around the burning bush. Amen. But he evidently made a few, or some span of time went by. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside. In other words, that word now, it is a word that bears in it an element of time. And now I will. In other words, I've seen it. I've been walking around it. I see it over there. I've seen it for however long. And now it is time for me to respond. And God manifesting himself in the life of Moses, it was to stir Moses' curiosity about the Lord and the Lord's presence and the things the Lord was was doing that were unusual, things Moses had never said, things Moses had never experienced, things that Moses could not explain, things Moses could not understand, and yet he knew God was in it. And it was something about when God began to manifest himself around Moses, at a distance from Moses, it was to call him to draw closer to God. Amen. Can I say tonight that the Lord, in his desire to manifest his presence to men, to his children, that it is always done that it might draw us closer to the Lord. Amen. Boy, how we need to be drawn closer. Have you ever had a time in your life where you said, I will now. I'll respond. There's something going on here. I can't explain it. I've never experienced it. I don't understand it. I can't write it all down and make it make sense, but I know that God is at work around me. God is at work for me. Have you ever had a time in your life where you said, as Moses did, I'm tired of going around in circles. I'm tired of living around this. It is now time. I will now turn aside. I will now go to the burning bush. I will now enter into whatever this manifestation is. So many just are content, I'm afraid, to keep going around in circles. But if God is manifesting himself around your life, mark it down, it is always to call you and I to draw closer to him. Suppose there's a lot more we could say about that. Let me hurry. I got four total things. Let me give you number two. Amen. You'll like this, and you probably should have shouted on the first one, but the Bible said that in this, in verse number four, God called unto Moses out of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I. And so he has responded right in drawing closer to the Lord. But notice with me in verse number five, the Bible said, he said, as he's drawing nigh, here's what the Lord said, draw not nigh hither. Lord, you just called me, you've appeared, you've got my attention. I finally have decided to turn aside and come, enter into all this, and now you're stopping me. But the Lord was only putting him on pause, for he said, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Writing notes, make this observation tonight. He manifests in this instance in Moses' life not only to call him to draw closer to God, but he does it to cleanse us from the contaminants of the world. Amen. You see, for God to manifest himself to us is for him to put us on holy ground. The Lord, in seeing Moses respond, to see Moses drawing closer to God, the Lord calls him to a life of cleansing. The simple act of taking off his shoes that represented the fact that at Moses, where you've been walking has defiled you. And there are things that have clung themselves to the soles of your feet. And Moses, if you're going to enjoy and enter in that and experience in totality all that I desire to do for you in this manifestation of my presence, Moses, understand this has come to you to cleanse you from the contaminants of this world. And herein lies probably much of the reason so many of us keep the Lord at bay in our life. We're satisfied walking with dirty sandals. Come on now. We're satisfied, my friend, just dealing with the filth that has clung itself to our soul and our attitude and our words and our actions. But understand, and when the Lord manifests himself to our life, it will always be to cleanse you and that from those things that have entered into our life and contaminated us. And the Lord is going to call. Listen, the Lord is always, when He manifests Himself, going to call us to put off some things out of our life. Believe that's right. We've already seen that in 1 John. Let me say number three. This point here really blessed my heart when I seen this. Not only in this manifestation, it was to call. It is to call you to draw closer to God. It is to cleanse you from the contaminants of the world. Notice with me in verse number 6, moreover, he said, don't miss it now, I am the God of thy father. I am the God of thy father. And we don't know who Moses' father was. We know who his father-in-law's name is. Best I can tell, the only thing we have found of Moses' father is found in chapter number 2 and in verse number 1. There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And then and his wife conceived and bare a son. They named him Moses. And that's all the record, best I can tell, we have of this man who is the father of Moses. But did the Lord not say something great and something mighty in this manifestation that He's given to Moses when He said, Moses, what I want you to understand is I am the God of thy father. And the God of your father was the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Amen. Are y'all with me now? If you're taking notes, write it down this way. You got to get a hold of this truth. Why is God manifesting Himself to this man on the run? This man without a purpose? This man that has been trained and taught right and yet is disjointed from all of his upbringing. Brother Tim, the Lord manifests Himself to Moses to connect him to his spiritual heritage. To connect you to your spiritual heritage. Moses, you've been running circles and at a distance from me for too long. Moses, you've had a head full of knowledge, but void of the reality yet and the realness of what it is to know who God is. You know a lot about me, but you don't really know me. And so Moses, I want you to know in this manifestation that I am connecting you to your spiritual heritage. I'm not just going to be the God of your father. I'm not just going to be the God of Abraham. I'm not just going to be the God of Isaac. I'm not just the God of Jacob. I have appeared to you to reveal to you, amen, that as I appeared to them, I have appeared to you, and I want you to be connected to what that heritage is. So many are throwing off their spiritual heritage tonight. Amen. There are entire podcasts that have been around now for years that is nothing more than slamming their spiritual heritage. Criticizing those that in yesterday walked with God and told us about God and preached God's word to us, had the power and the touch of God upon them, that now all of a sudden they'll talk as though they were abused in their upbringing because they were raised around the King James Bible and godly standards and separation elevated in their life. And all of that is evidence they know nothing about the manifest presence of the Lord. Because when God, and I'm telling you, I've experienced this, amen, listen, Hey man, I didn't understand. I didn't understand all my granddaddy had been preaching about. All I knew is, man, he's got something I ain't got. Hey man, he's got something I may not even been interested in. But when God began to manifest himself to me, he called me to draw closer to him. And the closer I drew to him, he cleansed me of the contaminants of the world. And as I responded to that, I'm telling you, Brother Maurice, the Lord, began to make a connection in my heart and in my life unto my spiritual heritage. And I thank God that now I know the God of my Father. Amen. I'm connected to Him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The one that revealed and manifests Himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the one that manifests Himself to me. Could you dare to say that tonight?
Amen.
The one who met Abraham in the land of the Ur, the Chaldees, and the one that met him at his altar in Bethel, and the one that led his life, and the one that met him in the fields and the plains of Mamre, and sat in his tent and talked with him and supped with him, is the same God that does the same with me. Would you dare be able to say that tonight? Amen, I can. You say, preacher, it seems awful crazy tonight. Hey, it's not crazy if you've entered in the manifest presence of the Lord, because it's there and only there that the Lord begins to make connection and plug things into your life. Amen, all those things that don't make sense, you're saved. There's things that don't make sense, you're saved. There's things you don't understand, you're saved. And if you die, you're going to go to heaven, but you just say, ain't got a hold of what this thing is about really selling out and living for God, and you're never going to know it if you don't get in the manifest presence of the Lord. Amen. I remember it like it was yesterday when God began to connect me to my spiritual heritage. Amen. I remember it like I got, just like the day I got saved when God began to take, all I seen was a rat's nest of wires, and the Lord began to straighten them all out and plug them into my heart and my soul, and began to let that feed come into my life, connecting me to all them things my granddaddy preached and stood for. Amen. All those things the servants of old have preached, when I lay hold on some of the preachers of the past, be it through the printed page or a tape or a CD or some download off of the internet, some man of God that ain't even among us anymore, when he begins to preach the word of God, there's something on the inside that says, I'm connected to that. I'm connected to that. And I know that I am, because the same God had manifested himself to those men and taught those men and worked in those men is the same God that manifests himself to me. Are you connected to your spiritual heritage? Or are you just riding daddy's coattails? Are you just riding the, what do they call that in racing? Some of y'all like racing. What do they call that? Drafting. You're just stuck there in the draft. You're just taking an easy road. Just drafting. Hey man, you ever get in the manifest presence of God, you'll get you some passing power. Amen. You'll get you some passing power. You'll get some horsepower under the hood. Amen. You won't have to draft off daddy and off mama. You won't have to draft off of some of these saints of God. Lord, to connect you to that spiritual heritage. That's why, oh, you young people, please listen to me tonight. My heart is heavy. Mary, my heart is heavy. That it not just be religion for you, but that you learn what it is to get in the manifest presence of God.
Amen.
Them nights when you youngins find it hard to sleep, you go, man, I ain't slept in days. Let me tell you something. It may be God manifesting himself, disturbing you, Jesse.
Right.
So he can manifest himself because he does not want you disjointed from your spiritual heritage.
Amen.
Them nights when you girls can't sleep be a good time. Not take NyQuil and not to sit there and toss and turn, roll out the bed and get on your knees and say, "Yes, Lord, here am I."
Amen.
See what happens. See what happens. John, see what happens. I double dog dare you when you wake at night. Amen. Amen. Just roll out and say, "Lord, I'm having trouble sleeping. It may be you got something to reveal to me, to say to me, for me to experience." If you'll roll out and you'll start saying things like, "Lord, here am I. Lord, here am I." Amen. The Lord, you never know what the Lord may do. He may put tears in your eyes. He may throw some joy in your heart. He may begin to clarify some of the things that you're struggling with and connect you to your spiritual heritage. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I can remember it. Other Larry, them nights, those nights when I toss and I turn and I think, "What in the world is wrong with me?" But it was God upsetting my sleep. It was God awakening me. Yet it was a good day in my life. Amen. When I realized that if I would just draw closer to God and say, "Lord, here I am, take some things out." When God began to connect me to things I couldn't even begin to understand without that.
Amen.
Here I am serving the Lord all these years. Amen. Still enjoying the presence of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen.
Why? Because I let Him connect me to that made no sense until I got in His presence. Amen. You say, "Last of all, I've gone way too long." To call you to draw closer to God, to cleanse you from the contaminants of the world, to connect you to your spiritual heritage. Boy, this is preaching pretty good, ain't it? Notice with me, I won't belabor the point, but verses 7 through 10. In this instance, beginning instance of Moses' life, this first record of Christ manifesting Himself in the life of Moses, it was to commission him to help someone else. If you're a decent human being, you have a desire to help and be an example to people around you. But I need everybody to listen to me. You do nobody no good, period, till you learn how to get in the manifest presence of the Lord. You can't be an example of anything. You can't lead anybody out of anything till you have been with God. This whole thing is centered around Moses. I want to do something in you. I want you to know me. Because Moses, you've been living a life without purpose. You've been floundering around and up and down and all over the place. Amen. But Moses, I'm going to put you in a path. I've come to manifest myself to you to stable your life out. Because Moses, I got something I need you to do. There's some people down there in Egypt that need somebody to help them. They don't need somebody running from their past. Somebody living with regret and living in failure is not going to be able to help anybody. So Moses, let's get you here. Let me do my work in your life because I'm about ready to take your life and use you to help an entire generation of Israelites. So, preacher, I want to be an example. I want to be a help. I want to be somebody that can have influence over people. Well, can I tell you something? You can go get all of John Maxwell's books you want to find and read them, and he'll give you some good thoughts. Amen. And you can get online and you can find out 10 ways to influence people. There's articles everywhere show y'all of that.
And after you've read all of that and you can memorize every word and every sentence and every punctuation mark, what I want you to know, after doing all of that, if you think you're going to live, you think you're going to experience all of that without going into the manifest presence of the Lord, you are kidding yourself. Because influence doesn't come by learning. It comes by walking with God. Amen. Moses got to help a bunch of people. Moses, how did you help all them people? I don't know. He'd stutter trying to tell you about all he didn't have and all he didn't know. The only thing, hallelujah, Brother Larry, can be said about it. Something happened to him in Exodus 3 that took him far beyond every limitation he had. And though he stuttered when he spoke, people listened.
Amen.
Though he had all these limitations, when he stepped up to lead Israel, God used his life. Why? Because of what the Lord did in preparing him in his own presence to send him to do what he called him to do. Amen.